What is up, Steelers Nation? Thank you so much for jumping on to another episode of the Steelers Collective. I'm Noah Streckbine, joined always by Mark Caboli and Ray Fittipaldo. Find us on youtube.com/Steelers Collective and anywhere you get your podcast. The Pittsburgh Steelers, still no news on Joey Porter Jr. While everything is quiet all around, it does bring up some lingering questions about what's going on. We've got one hypothetical that may be holding things up, and we're going to dive into two names to start paying attention to. Plus, at some point, they got to start paying the 24 class. We're diving into who's getting paid and who's not. Boys, it's a good one. It's a hot one. Hope you're staying cool. How you feeling?
Oh, I'm great. I don't know about you. Sweating from every part of the body, right?
I took the garbage out an hour ago. I had to take my third shower of the day.
I will say,
worked up another sweat.
I will say, Ray, you got the nice summer shirt on. Mark, you look like you're in a sweatshirt right now.
You have to understand, I keep telling you this, my basement game room here is awfully chilly the way I like it, so I'm not gonna be wearing any t-shirts or, you know, like you
with, hey,
with your Walmart special $2.99.
First off, yes, Walmart has the best clothes, or Sam's Club. I've told you this in confidence.
Oh, you've switched to the Sam's Club old man gimmick.
I'm a Sam's Club old man guy. Easy. Wow. Ask my wife. It's brought out every single date night. It's a good time. All right. Let's talk some Pittsburgh Steelers football. Joey Porter Jr., still not signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers long term. Ray, your partner, I'll toss him out here. Jerry Dulac said in his chat with some fans, I think this is almost a week ago now, that the word if should be brought into the conversation if he signs another contract. And it brings up a bunch of theories. One of them is that there are two names that we also need to monitor because maybe all three of them are going to impact the market and make it higher than what it is now. The other two names are Christian Gonzalez and Devin Witherspoon. I'll toss it to you guys. Are we waiting on those guys to sign before Joey's going to get a deal with the Steelers?
I'm not too concerned whatsoever. We're looking at June 30th, right? We still go 4 weeks before they get to St. Vincent College, so there's plenty of time there. And, I mean, I just try to go back and think, when haven't they signed somebody that they really, really wanted? Even if they did have to overpay him to a certain degree. And who knows what the overpay market might be. Maybe 27 isn't overpaid. Maybe 30 is. I still think they'll meet somewhere in the middle. It has to do with a lot of guaranteed money. I don't see an instance where they just let it ride out and potentially franchise and tag him next year. We see it every single year, and we get all flustered over it. But I think unless Joey's got some irrational thoughts of setting the market, which I don't think that he should have those thoughts, I think it will get done. It's just a matter of when. Who knows? It could push to September. Who knows? But I think it's going to get done.
I mean, the highest paid corner in the league right now is making $31 million or so. I mean, the Witherspoon projection, and you know, I hate to go by these projections, but it's north of 31. It's like 32 million a year, and he's a number six overall pick in the 23 draft. So, you know, he's got the pedigree. He's on a Super Bowl champion, really, really good player. So, you know, the one nice thing for the Steelers guys is those guys have the fifth year option picked up,
true,
and those teams can kind of go another year. The Steelers are not in that situation. I actually think it's a positive for the Steelers. So get Joey's done now. You don't have to worry about Witherspoon making 32 a year. You don't have to worry about Gonzalez probably making 30 a year. If you can get Porter for 25 or so, you know, probably seems like a pretty good deal right now if they can get that done.
Could I ask a question? Maybe it's too expensive, but is 31 pushing 32? I don't know if they'd go 32, but maybe 31 to Joey. Is that too expensive? Because in a year, it's going to be cheap.
I mean, listen, I think it's too much. I mean, I think Joey's a good player, but you know, you need turnover production if you're going to get that kind of money. Witherspoon is an all-around corner. I'm not saying that Joey's not, but Witherspoon could do it all. So I think that's a little bit steep in my mind for Joey. I think he's a very good player. I just don't think he's going to get what Gonzalez or Witherspoon is going to make, and I don't think he should. I don't think he's on their level.
Are they going to?
That's what I think there, Noah. That's what I'm thinking right now. He's been, what, is it third year? So it'll be his fourth year.
Yeah.
The first year was kind of iffy. The second year was a little bit better. Last year was obviously really good. I mean, do you really want to set the market or push it to 30 on the guy that you have a good feeling about, but you're not 100% sure? Like Ray said, the production's still not there, not consistent through it. I know you're paying him for what he can potentially do in the future. I mean, you can set those numbers anywhere you want. I mean, we all know what the big number is. It's going to be guaranteed money within those first 2 years.
Yeah.
And if it gets to that point of that, I think he'll sign. I don't think he should reset the market. But you figure, where else do they go? I mean, it's been years and years and years since they had a guy of this caliber that they drafted homegrown and developed into a star. I mean, you can go through the draft a year after you just fell after fell after fell. This guy seems like he's finally hit, so you might want to keep him on, because what else do you have right now?
That's kind of what I look at it as. I agree with you both that Joey should not reset the market. The Steelers should not hand him $31 million a year. And I don't even think he should reset the market and guaranteed money. I believe Trent McDuffie's what, 50 million? Somewhere in that ballpark. Sauce Gardner was 40. I think he's more 40 than he is 50. And my only question is, like, what if Joey, that's what all he's going to take? Because he's going to get it next year. That's the thing, is if he plays well, Joey goes into next offseason and he makes almost, if not more money than Devin Witherspoon does, especially if he looks really good, just because that's what happens in free agency. I also think that it's, you know, a reasonable expectation to say at some point he's got to be real about this. But I think the Steelers might have to be more flexible than we think that they are, because like Mark said, like, what are you going to do if Joey leaves? What do? You just go Jamel Dean and hope that Dalen Everett's ready in a year and give up on the first corner that you can develop since Ike Taylor? That seems like a lot there.
I mean, I think there's some motivation for both sides to actually get this done. If you're the Steelers, right, do you want a player who is unhappy, maybe playing careful, doesn't want to get injured going into his big contract year, you know, when he's going to become a free agent? If you're the Steelers, I don't know if you want that situation. And if you're Joey, wouldn't you want that guaranteed money a year early, just so if an injury does come up, you know, let's say a bad knee injury, then you're protected. You've got your guaranteed money. So when there is motivation by both sides, I think that's a positive. And that's one of the reasons I think this can get done. But I think what we're talking about, you know, Witherspoon and Gonzalez and the numbers they're going to try to reach, you know, Joey's agent is pushing for similar numbers. And that's why I think we're kind of in this holding pattern that we are in.
I'm pretty sure Joey and Christian and Devin Witherspoon all have the same agent. No. Their agents work for the same company, because Joey's agent left one company and went to Win First this actual past spring.
Yeah, he's an Athletes First guy, right? And the other guys are CAA, I think.
No, he left Athletes First. And I think they all went to Win something.
They all did. Okay.
Yeah. I'm don't quote me on that, but somebody said that to me today, actually. And I was like, I didn't realize that.
The package deal, right?
That's what I'm saying. At that point, you're not looking for 27, because if you get 30, Christian Gonzalez is going for 32. You know, Devin's going for 33. And now you're like, okay,
my question is to you two is, what benefits this Joey Porter for signing right now in July, into August? What benefit is it for him?
No, nothing. You're holding out as long as possible. You have no reason to sign right now at all.
Yeah, this could be a TJ Watt, Cam Hayward type of
hold-in.
But there is motivation, Mark, come September, I think, for him to get it done, just because you don't want to go into a season knowing that, you know, you're playing on your rookie contract and there's nothing guaranteed after that if you get hurt. So
what is the franchise tag number for corners? It has to be in the mid-20s, right?
Yeah, that'd have to be. I think the first five guys all make 30 or, yeah, just under 30 million, somewhere in that ballpark.
I mean, that's always an option. I mean, they always say, I know the front office, Omar always says, that's always an option we can use. We don't really want to do it. But if you need to hold him in place, I wouldn't think that they'd do that. Like I said, when was the last time they didn't sign somebody they wanted? Maybe it was Mike Wallace, but he was trying to play hardball at the time, right? And then they signed Antonio Brown. Other than that, I don't remember a contract just not being signed of somebody they really wanted.
No, me neither. I'm fairly confident it's going to get done. You know, I'm not, I haven't hit the panic button, but I think I think everybody's wondering the reasons behind what the negotiations are. I don't think anybody's sitting here in panic, but I think people are curious what's happening. And I think that both of these guys in that conversation is exactly what's happening. I think that's exactly the conversation the Steelers are having is these guys are going to sign for this much. These guys have signed for this much. Move on with it. Do you think that his guaranteed is going to end up being more than Sauce Gardner, $40
million? Nah, I don't think so. I mean, what's the highest?
Two full years, I guess.
What's the highest guarantee they had was, I believe.
Trent McDuffie's 50.
No, I'm talking about the Steelers. Watt was like something crazy.
Yeah, Watt was 102.
What I'm saying, you look anybody else beside Watt, and it's not. I mean, you're looking, if he does get $40 million, that would set the market for the Steelers guarantee money other than Watt. So, so I don't think, I think that would be a number that you look at, mid 30s to 40s. And if he's, what is he, 24, 25?
No, I mean, didn't.
It's not like you're going to cut him in 2 years anyway. So,
didn't Herbig get $42 million guaranteed?
Herbig was up there. So
Herbig, $42 million guaranteed in his contract.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, next year at this time, it could be a steal.
It could be a steal. But that's my thing is these guys are going to, what's Witherspoon going to get in a deal? You know what I mean? $60 million guaranteed if he plays well this season. Like,
that's the thing you got to keep in mind. Like, it seems like it was only 5 years ago, cornerbacks were making $20 million a year.
Yep.
And it's true. The salary cap keeps going up exponentially. So these numbers sound exorbitant and in everyday terms they are, but in terms of the NFL salary cap, it's standard business. And these guys are basically, you know, making the same percentage that these other guys were, you know, 5 years ago.
I don't think anybody in the front office is really giving a second thought right now. Cause I think pretty much all of them are at the beach.
Yeah. Also very true.
I'm pretty sure the general manager might be out of town and the head coach might be out of town. So they'll be like, talk to me end of July.
That's honestly probably exactly what's happening at all times. All right, let's talk about who's going to get paid. We talked about Joey, seeing what's going on there. Let's talk about who's going to get paid in the class of 24. I think it's a good time to look ahead. You have... I mean, again, this is Omar's second draft class for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I think it was equally as impressive as the first. The first was good. 23 was a good draft class, but still some big names. Do you expect the same? Let's start off with this. I don't want to go through. We'll go through individual names, but I think the general question, do you expect it to look like this year where everybody is up for contract extensions and there's a possibility it's a surprising amount of them or number of them that actually get signed?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be as many as this year. I think you start with the offensive linemen, right? I mean, those are two no-brainers right there, in my opinion. If you're trying to build out this offensive line, you've got potentially the best center in the league. But after that, I mean, a lot of it's going to have to be determined on what happened this year too. I mean, are you secure of offering Peyton Wilson any contract extension until you see what happens this year? So I don't think there's going to be as many people from his Omar second class that are going to get the cash than his first class.
Yeah, I think Mason has a shot. I think the first
I was going to say
first two are no brainers. You're right, but I think Mason, if he plays well under the new coaching staff, I think he's another guy I think that they would strongly consider. And, you know, we're talking about big numbers for Joby, like $25 million a year. You guys were both in the room, I think, when Troy Faiotanu talked to us earlier this spring. We asked him if he wanted to be a guard. He was like, uh-uh, I'm a tackle. And do you know why he said that?
It's something to do with the green things that are
– and especially – yeah, he is not upset about moving from right to left tackle. That guy is going to make more money than anyone in that Steelers 24 draft class. So we think $25 million is big. Wait till we see that Troy Faiotanu number.
What about Frazier, though? I mean,
Frazier is going to get 27. Frazier, if Frazier has a good year, like a really good year, he's beating Linderbaum. I like, because he's going to be that. That's going to be the market for him. He's not going to be like, I'm below this guy. I'm better than this guy. Mm-hmm. I need to be paid more than him. You're going to have two guys that are Frazier is not going to hit 30, but you're going to have two guys right around that $30 million mark come 2024. And I agree with you, Ray. I think Mason's a name to, like, why wouldn't you sign Mason? Guards are not super expensive when they're not big name guards. And if Mason is realistic about it and says, hey, this is a long-term starting job, I'm secure here, I know the guys here, I've been here. Right. If he takes that approach and doesn't say, I'm just going to get a boatload of money somewhere else, I don't know why you wouldn't keep a guard that's been here for 4 years, you know, and has not played terrible those 4 years.
No, he's good. I mean, he everybody needs a Ramon Foster. That's how I look at him, you know. Maybe not so much as an undrafted guy, but a guy that's, you know, a pretty good guard, maybe playing above his capabilities, but you need him, not going to get paid a ton. I mean, you got Dunker going to slide in there, but I don't know if you're – if Spencer Anderson will be around, or who knows what that happens. But, yeah, he's not going to break the market. I mean, Mason McCormick is, I think, he might be on demand too. You think about it. Just the reasons why you just mentioned. Other teams are going to say, hey, this is a pretty good guy that has 40 starts under his belt and probably not going to get paid a ton of money. So let's go for it. So I would keep as many offensive linemen as possible. I mean, you honestly spent so much draft capital trying to build this up, and you're just going to let everybody go. That's why I think guys, I mean, Jalen Ramsey, Patrick Queen, those guys, it's not like they're going to be bad, but they're going to have to come off the books to make room for these guys.
Agreed. Agreed. And you're going to have to make those decisions, but you make those decisions. The Steelers waited. It's the Joey argument when it comes to Mason and these offensive linemen. You finally have a corner that you developed that's a great corner for the first time in forever. How long did the Steelers go with a terrible offensive line after Marquise Pouncey and them retired? It was awful. That was the worst stretch offensive line I've seen in my whole life. And you finally have three guys, possibly a fourth if Max Ihonatiure works out, and then a fifth if Jennings Dunker is the guy. Or Spencer Anderson or Brock Hoffman. I mean, you can't ruin that. Especially with a new quarterback, you can't. There's no chance you can mess that up.
You remember that 08 offensive line? Some guys still take offense. I hope Trey Essex is not watching this because he'll take offense to this. But that was not the most talented offensive line ever, and they won the Super Bowl with it.
Yeah, what, Darnell Stapleton played, 2 years in the NFL? I know he had an injury. He was actually okay.
Hartwig, Justin Hartwig, I believe. I mean, it was just
Justin Hartwig, yeah.
Hey, how about the 2010 line? Who was the right or left tackle? They kept like pulling him in and out of games because he was so bad on that Super Bowl 45 team. What was that tackle's name?
It wasn't Doug McCurdy,
No, but they would pull him in the middle of games. He was so bad.
Oh, I know who you're talking about now. Number 72. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, Jonathan Scott. Jonathan
Scott, that's it.
Jonathan
that's
Scott.
It. Yeah.
I mean, you never see that done. You never embarrass a guy, and they just pull him out in the middle of the game and then put him back in when the other guy screwed up. I mean, you can win with bad offensive lines, but here's something about when you invest in offensive lines. And listen, Omar was there with Kevin Colbert. You draft Pouncey. You sign Pouncey to what? Three contracts. You draft DeCastro. You sign him. You find Villanueva, you sign him. Mark is right. When you get good offensive linemen, you have to try to keep them together. Think about that run. Mm-hmm. And I know they weren't great offensively like in 12, 13. But that run, like 14 through 18, when they were one of the best offenses in the NFL, that offensive line had a lot to do with that. So
Marcus Gilbert, go throw him out there. That line stayed intact. I mean, there was crazy amount of number of games they've played together. You just don't see that. And I'm sure they would love to have something very similar with these guys as well.
Look at Tomlin said it last year, and it was, and I get it, new coaching staff, but he said, I like watching these guys smile because, or I smile when I watch these guys because I know that they're going to be in each other's weddings. Like, that's the game plan here. And I think Mason's played well enough to be included into that group. The question outside of that, though, is Peyton Wilson. What does Peyton need to do this year for you to be like, all right, you got to sign him?
Well, I think you got to benefit because I don't think Patrick Queen's going to come back, right?
I agree.
I think that's a huge long shot of him coming back. So all of a sudden, he comes a little bit more valuable. He just has to be more consistent. I think he has all the talent in the world. If he was able to be consistent, what we saw in training camp last year, that was eye-opening. But then when he got into the season, he looked good and obviously inconsistent, as I said three times already. That's what I'm looking at. I think he could be the next Patrick Queen type of guy. But he needs definitely work some things out.
And you got to remember the reason he fell to the third round, compensatory range was he was red flagged by a lot of teams with his injury history. The Steelers believed enough in him. Their doctor signed off on him. But I don't know if he ever gets the free agency guys, like who would be throwing around big guarantees to a guy with all that stuff in his medical past. I mean, some guys are able to overcome that, but Steelers and other teams go into these situations knowing it's a gamble and knowing guys like Darnell Washington too, they might just be really good for 5 years. And anything you get beyond that is gravy. And we might be talking about a similar situation with Peyton Wilson as well.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is there are certain players that are not 32 team guys, and Peyton might be one of them, which I think if, again, he's looking at this realistically, stick with the Pittsburgh Steelers and get a contract and they'll toss in some guarantees and be that guy. Because if it works out, maybe you have a longer leash than somewhere else. But to me, Peyton, like you said, he's just got to be more consistent. He's got to be, in my opinion, a better pass defender than what he is. He's incredibly athletic,
right?
Yeah. Right. He's the most athletic linebacker I've ever seen, but he can't stay with guys, and he said he could be the best pass rusher or the pass defender in football, linebacker wise. I think he's got the capabilities. He's got to be able to do it, but you have to do that. You do that if Peyton Wilson becomes very good in pass defense, you sign him no matter what because that's a good piece to have.
Don't you think under the new coaching staff there is the hope that we don't have to see inside linebackers in one-on-one coverage?
Yeah.
As much as we did under Tomlin.
All of a sudden, everybody looks really good.
Yeah, Patrick Graham, please play zone on third and long. You know, don't put these guys in these situations where they look like idiots.
Yeah, I agree.
One more thing about Peyton Wilson. I mean, for a guy that doesn't have an ACL or disintegrator or whatever it is.
I don't think he's got either of them.
You know what? He can move pretty good, which is
crazy.
Remarkable in itself.
Yeah, my bad. My knees hurt sitting here right now. So
you're talking to me here, brother. So. I get knee shots every 3 months religiously. So
that's awesome. All right. With that said, that's everything on our agenda. We're going to start answering your questions. Toss them in the chat. We'll get to as many of them as we can. First, we got a word from our boys over at Prize Picks, America's number one sports picks app and the best place to win cash while watching sports. It's easy. Just pick your players, set your lineups, and watch. You'll pick more or less an individual stats, or you'll pick major or spreads or totals on any major game. Plus, Prize Picks operates in most states, including California, Texas, and Florida. This week, Pat Freiermuth getting in the game. I don't know what happened to Mark here. We'll add him in. Pat Freiermuth getting in the game.
Tell me something.
Hey, welcome. And Patrick Queen jumping up here as well with 1.75 sacks. Is Patrick Queen getting to the quarterback twice? Is Pat Freiermuth having more than 450 yards?
I'm picking Pat to get past 450 more so than Queen getting the 2 sacks, but that number for Freiermuth seems a little bit low, doesn't it?
Yes. 450? It definitely seems low. I mean, Queen, I mean, that's one good game, right? I mean,
yeah.
However, you're probably going to see more Brisker, more Ramsey, more guys coming off the corner. Plus, you got the three edge rushers. That's probably why that number is a little low. So, if I would say maybe a tick above 1.5 for Queen, just because it might be a blown assignment here and there.
I like it. I like it. Using my promo code HMAR by clicking the link below, new users who play $5 get $50 in lineups. Just download the app using the promo code and the link. Can't wait to hear your lineups. All right. Let's start answering some questions here. First, shout out to our subscribers. I believe we are 50 subscribers off, something like that. Mm-hmm. Hit the subscribe button. We're almost at 1K. It would be huge. That is the first milestone of YouTube. It makes you real. You know what I mean? Right now, we're just kids in the playground. And we need to.
Yeah, I'll just change my name to Ray.
Why did that happen again? Shout out. Shout out. All right.
Oh, the magic of YouTube.
Let's get things kicking with KGK is for life. Will we be getting shows from St. Vincent College this summer? I think we're going to have to do at least some from good old Latrobe.
It's not going to be like Cam Hayward, right? We're not going to have a tent out behind Rooney Hall or something, right?
We should. You should ask your boss if we could use his tent if he shows up for training camp again.
I think they are showing up. I just don't know what day.
We should. Can we use the studio? Could we use their setup after they're done?
I think they go in and out, right? I don't know.
We could just do the show with them. That's totally fine.
You know what's great about this is McCarthy Mondays means Tuesday's wide open for this program.
For this program, it is. It's just us. We are the Steelers news of Tuesdays. Yeah, we'll be getting a couple for sure. For sure. Mark Malone, will they get Porter traded before training camp? No chance. Is there any world at all? I know how crazy this question is. Is there any world at all? And shout out, you will get aggregated for this, where the Steelers and Joey Porter Jr. end in a trade.
First of all, you won't get aggregated.
I won't. I don't get aggregated, okay? The only two members of this podcast that get aggregated are to my left.
The anti-aggregator, which I'm a big fan of the aggregator, so aggregate all you want. Absolutely zero chance. I mean, unless you throw two first-round picks at him. Didn't Sauce Gardner go for two picks? Two first, I think.
He did.
Sauce Gardner is on a different level. No. I find... there's a better chance of me running the Pittsburgh Marathon next year than Joey Porter getting traded before camp.
You don't see a world where, again, I'm going to get it to you. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just going to do this for you. You don't see a world where the Steelers are 3-6 at the bye week and, you know what I mean? Somebody called the Philadelphia Eagles, called the Pittsburgh Steelers, or the Kansas City Chiefs called the Pittsburgh Steelers looking for a corner, and they're asking, they're willing to give up a lot of picks for Joey Porter Jr.
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
Oh, no, I shouldn't have said that. Jalen Hurts for Joey Porter.
We might actually aggregate that one ourselves. Thanks, guys.
No, I mean, the only way that happens is if Joey Porter wants it to happen, and I don't think it's ever going to get that contentious. I mean, you never know. Contract negotiations can bring that out, but I don't think it's going
to
get to that.
Even if it gets contentious, they deal with it. You're still under contract. That's what they would say.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. You can't look. This is the big contract. I think it's hilarious whenever people ask, did you learn any? Did this person ask you or give you any advice about this contract negotiation? As if TJ Watt's contract negotiation and Nick Herbig's contract negotiation were anything alike whatsoever. TJ was like, how do I beat Myles Garrett and become the highest paid linebacker ever? Nick Herbig was like, yeah, I'll take some money. That sounds awesome. Joey should be talking to these guys. That's where the advice should be coming from. So anytime you hear that category where it's like, you know, they're taking advice from other people, that's when I tell myself, like, this is going to take forever because they're not in a rush, just like we keep talking about. They're not in a rush at all. Renegade Minka, when do you restructure Watt, Hayward, and Metcalf?
Doesn't matter when they have to.
Right? I mean, Watt's going to get you 20, right? I thought I saw that number. It was something more than I was expecting. I wouldn't touch Hayward. Absolutely not. I'm not touching a 37-year-old. Metcalf, Didn't they didn't do Metcalf. I mean, that's they're going to have to. I mean, if you're getting a guy like Joey Porter plus all the other ancillary stuff they have to pay for, like the practice squad and all that stuff, they're going to have to do it, and they know they're going to have to do it. I'd say Watt's number one on the docket.
Yeah, Watt's going to give you a boatload. What is DK going to give you? He's got to get you another 10 at least, probably more.
Yeah, either one. I mean, here's the question. Which one will cause the most ruckus from the fan base?
But I don't understand that. To me, it's why do we cause a big deal when somebody restructures? Like, it changes nothing, essentially. It doesn't. The salary cap doesn't even exist. People don't even know what that means 90% of the time.
It's sort of like if you get your $1 million a month. They're like, hey, Noah, we're just going to give you $11 million bucks up front. So that would be your salary.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm talking about your $12 million a year you make. So you're not helping out the team. There's no helping going out. Okay, you want to give me this money now? Oh, great.
That's what I'm saying. Like, these guys don't fuss about it all. And it doesn't change almost anything in terms of training. Unless you push it back and void these things, then are void years, then it's different. But normal.
Honestly, they did. You remember that, Ray? We're talking about 6, 7, 8, man. They were struggling just to get to the cap. And they had to push a lot of people into the future. They had to cut a lot of people. But with the cap going up, they pretty much only restructure deals when they absolutely have to. They really don't want to do that anymore. But they're going to need to do it this year.
No.
Yeah, agreed. All right, got some predictions here. Let us know where we're thinking here. Wheel hard. Rodgers should easily pass 3,800 yards in 2026. He had 3,300 last year. And for the last four games, he was throwing to guys that probably won't catch many passes this season.
And McCarthy's whole deal was possessing the ball and running as many plays as possible. Yeah, I think a 4,000-yard season is within reach.
I wouldn't say easily. I wouldn't use that.
I said,
the question was easily, right?
Oh, yeah.
No, I would not say easily.
But possible, yes.
Possible, yes, for sure. DK Metcalf, 1,150 yards. This one to me is more expected than Aaron because you can't pay DK $30 million a year and have him have 2 900-yard years. I get last year he would have probably surpassed 1,000. You still can't. It can't happen. You have to have over 1,000 yards if you're DK Metcalf this year.
Honestly, how many people had it last year? Over 1,000 yards.
In the NFL?
Yeah, there probably wasn't that many. I would imagine 15, 16. Oh, no, my fault. 36. Damn. So I was going to say that number is going to be hard to hit. Maybe not.
That makes it so much worse. You have to. Every team has one.
So.
Yeah, except for the Steelers. Except the Steelers. You have to hit. You have to hit 1,100 yards.
He needs to.
That's with ease. This next one, though, Michael Pittman, 850. He didn't have 800 last year, but he had 7 touchdowns. I think 850 should be expected. Did you guys see also, did you see ESPN, I think it was Seth Walder, say that the Michael Pittman Jr. trade was just a mistake and that paying him $24 million this year, which is not accurate compared to Wandale Robinson making 17 and a half, you just should have went with Wandale Robinson?
First of all, they got it for free.
For free.
And wasn't it only $20 million?
Yeah, it's $20
million. Yeah, they restructured his deal. So it's $20 million a year. It's not even that. It's like 19 point something.
They literally got Michael Pittman for nothing, a conditional seventh rounder or whatever it was. I wouldn't agree with who's this cat you're talking about?
Seth Walder is his name. Yeah, I agree. Does he hit 850 yards?
Listen, I don't know, like, if Michael Pittman ages like Juju does. I don't know if this guy is going to be like super productive in his early 30s, but he's only, 27, 28? Got a couple good years left, and he's going to be a possession guy. You don't even need him to be an explosive receiver, you know?
Yeah, I think he has the capabilities of doing that, but you might not need him to do it as much as Metcalf. But there's one guy, and, you know, we cover the team – for a living and you typically don't root for people, it's hard not to root for a guy like Michael Pittman.
Yeah. Agreed. He's agreed.
Just a good dude. I mean, so let's hope he gets over 850 just because I think he's a good dude.
I think that he and Aaron are going to have a pretty good connection because Michael Pittman kind of strikes me as an Aaron wide receiver, just a good route runner who's got very reliable hands. Isn't anything crazy. He's the Randall Cobb of the situation, just here, you know?
He's where he's supposed to be.
He's where he's supposed to be. Exactly. He's a professional wide receiver. And Jeremy Bernard, 650 this year. See, to me, 500 is a good year.
Yeah.
Especially with rookies. I mean, is that guy going to be having like a huge role in September, you know?
No. See, that's my thing, is it takes 4 weeks before Jeremy Bernard's heavily involved in this offense. And even then, you're heavily involved with DK Metcalf, Michael Pittman Jr., Pat Freiermuth, yeah, Darnell Washington, and two receiving backs.
Jalen Warren, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. That's a number that's – I don't know. I would say no on that one right now. But, I mean, he is ahead of a lot of people that you normally see get drafted as rookie receivers. Normally, it takes them a while unless you're elite amongst the elite. So is there an opening for that to happen? Sure, but I wouldn't anticipate that. Just because I don't, you know, you think he's going to start? I would. All we saw was 4 weeks. Yeah,
we're going to see. I think it's too early to know. You know, yeah. I'm not going to say it's an overreaction to expect him to start, but
I think he will.
I'm thinking out loud.
He's going to start. Come on. What are we talking about?
You never know. A little fifth guy sneaking up in the 24, getting paid class here.
Yeah,
but even if he starts, like,
what's
his production going to be in September? Like, he's not going to be the second or third option in September. He might grow into that number three option, but I, you know, and listen, he could have 500 yards. He could have a great rookie year if he scores six or seven touchdowns, right?
All these numbers getting thrown out there. Rodgers might have
5,500.
He might have 5. Yeah, he might have 5,500 yards and 40 touchdowns.
Let's add these up here.
Quick, 201. Noah, thank you so much. Hello, Ray and Mark. You're welcome, my friend. I think Benton is out for an extension this year. Your thoughts, gentlemen? I'm not going to say he's out for an extension. I think it's a weird gap time. But that conversation has faded.
Yeah. I mean, how many times did Omar tell us publicly, non-publicly, that we can't sign everybody?
Yeah.
We pretty much signed everybody except one guy. Well, we assume Porter's going to get signed.
Yeah.
So I was kind of surprised that, you know, I was looking at the Darnell Washington as the guy out, but they got him for a very nice salary for him. So they can't sign them all. I mean, I just don't see him being in their long-term plans.
I don't think he's not in their long-term plans, but I think right now he's not in that future.
You don't sign him by September 13th. He's going somewhere else
next year. I would agree with that. And listen, I know Patrick Graham always says, you know, we're in the 3-4 only 30% of the time, and it's true, but he is not like your starting defensive end. Like, he is – he's a different body type. He's like that Javon Hargrave. Javon Hargrave had to go somewhere else to be a star and to get paid. And you just wonder if the Steelers are going to stick with their prototypical guys like Harmon and Hayward, you know, whoever the next Hayward is.
Yeah. Have
to be those, you know, those prototypical 3-4 defensive end who, you know, who start and, you know, play the majority of the game.
Yeah. I also look at it like the Steelers are pretty decent at drafting defensive linemen. So I don't think that they'd be real worried if they're going, yeah, we got to find another guy next year in the first round, you know, or the second round, I guess, because you're going to get a quarterback. You know, they don't really have a ton of holes on this team, you know. So I see that. Quick's got another one for us. Hey, guys, do you see a sprinkle of a 4-3 defense this year? Patrick Graham's kind of mentioned it here and there, but he doesn't go into specifics. I would imagine maybe sprinkle, but very, very.
I don't think it's going to be traditional, right? A traditional 4-3.
No. You know, no.
Like the old purple people eaters or the old steel curtain.
Yeah.
I mean, you got two edge rushers who are
Yeah, you can't put your edge rushers in a 4-3.
You don't want those guys to be those, you know, two-gap guys or whatever the hell he was.
Could you imagine TJ and Alex Highsmith standing up next to Patrick Queen back there? I don't even think they'd know how to do it. I think TJ would look real awkward standing back there, just like, you know, and just, yeah. No.
I don't see it, Ray. I don't know.
I mean, I'm looking more at the back end in terms of Patrick Graham's personnel usage than the front. Like, you got a lot of DBs you got to play, right? Like, how are you going to deploy Jaquan Brisker, Jalen Ramsey? I think the assortment of pieces in the secondary to me is what's going to define this defense. How are those guys used? You know, what are you playing? You playing five DBs a lot? You know, you playing six sometimes? I mean, they got the numbers to do it. So I think that's the biggest question for me, not so much what the front is going to look like.
We're forgetting about Eccles, too. I mean, and he had Eccles a solid year last year.
He did, and he was the first – Ray, you said this a couple weeks ago. He's the first person mentioned by Patrick Graham, which, yeah. I mean, something. It definitely does. Hulk Vlogs, Ray, have you been enjoying the World Cup?
Yeah, Ray, how have you been?
I have not seen 1 minute of action. Is the U.S. playing right now?
Tomorrow. Wednesday.
Oh, God.
They're playing, you know.
Tomorrow night, yeah.
See, I always say this. I'm not a soccer fan, but I'm a United States fan. So yes. I'll only watch United States play. But Bosnia must be a really terrible team. I think they're like the 40th ranked team in the tournament or something. So if they don't win this one, it's going to be a disappointment.
I might have to tune in tomorrow.
Here's the worst thing about soccer. And you know it's going to happen. And you know it's going to happen in the semis and potentially finals. It's going to be decided by penalty kicks. And we're all going to sit here and bitch. That's going to happen.
Well, you know what it is? I lied. I actually did see like 1 minute. It wasn't U.S., but like somebody went down the first minute and was like grabbing their knee or their ankle. I'm like, come on, like, where's the clicker? I got to put on something else.
Where's the clicker?
Oh my.
I was at, yeah, that was Yinzer right there. That was Yinzer Ray.
Oh man.
I ended up at a out to eat actually. And it was the end of the Canada game or the second half of the Canada game. And somehow everybody in the place that I was in was Canada fans. And when they won, when they scored the goal right at the end, that place went nuts. That was the only game I've watched. I will watch the USA tomorrow because I'm with you, Mark. You gotta, you know.
I will say the American sports industry overall, Major League Baseball, golf, all these fans are showing up at different events. I was at Yankee Stadium a couple of weeks ago to see the Yankees play the Red Sox. There were all kinds of like people from out of the country already in town for the World Cup who were just like, oh, I want to go see a baseball game. And they were having fun. And you saw what happened with the golf match at the Travelers, right?
Yeah.
They were Victor Hovland. I mean, that guy had his own – it was like a Ryder Cup match.
Yeah.
Back and forth there with Scotty Scheffler. So this has been like a big boon for the American sports industry with, you know, the World Cup being here.
Yeah, by the way, the Pirates are losing 2-0 in the sixth.
Shout out to the Pirates. Shout out to the Broncos. Another big comeback. Wow. Wayne Jones, any news on Drew Aller, the Steelers' last remaining unsigned rookie? What is he waiting for?
Whoever's around him to sign, probably, right?
You want to know who's around him who hasn't signed? Carson Beck.
Yes. My buddy. My favorite.
Yeah. The first four quarterbacks taken in the draft, Fernando Mendoza, Ty Simpson, Carson Beck, and Drew Aller, have not signed contracts yet.
Yeah. I mean, I think I think Beck's ahead of him until he signs. I mean, we saw this a couple years ago, right, with the second-round picks waiting because they wanted guaranteed money or whatever they wanted there. And I think it's just pushed down to the third round now. Once again, would he be absolutely stupid enough not to sign when he's already slotted in over a potential not being – having guaranteed money into his fourth year or whatever that – role is
all that happens is these agents go out and get insurance policies for training camp.
Yeah,
and if they're practicing during training camp, if something happens, they are covered. They will get their rookie contract. And then as soon as the contract is signed, and we all know it's going to get signed, then that, you know, that insurance policy gets, you know, gets canceled. So that's all that happens. These guys are protected no matter what. Drew Aller will be in training camp. He will be practicing with the team.
Yeah. There's one thing to not start your career off on the right foot is be a third round pick and
right.
Hold out of training camp.
Hold out of training camp as a quarterback. As a quarterback. If you're a, you know, running back, you're going, all right, that was really dumb, but whatever. A quarterback? This is a guy that's supposed to eventually lead this franchise?
Last Steeler to hold out the training camp. I might have this one. I'm not sure.
I don't. I've never experienced one.
Who?
I've never experienced one.
I think Mike Wallace.
Was it Wallace who held out? Okay.
I definitely know Mike Wallace. I held out. What was that? 10? 12?
12. Because 12? That's because AB signed 2 years in. Correct. That's when they signed AB.
And Ben held out for maybe, what, 2 or 3 days. But that was back in, whatever, 04 when there was no slotted there. So, no, they're not holding out.
How would Steelers history have changed if Mike Wallace didn't play hardball and he signed a deal? AB, he goes somewhere else, you know? Who knows what happens?
Yeah, me and Mike Wallace had a sort of a conversation in a locker room time about something like that. He was yelling and I kept going like this.
Okay. Mike Wallace was a good dude.
I like Mike Wallace. Yeah, I saw him at the Super Bowl, last Super Bowl I went to, maybe Super Bowl 50. You know, it's weird. It's like you had some beef with the guys back then. Then when you see him like 10 years later, it's like your best friends.
Yeah.
Cool. Yes, very much so. Guys are super – I've only gotten to experience that with a couple of guys because guys haven't retired yet, but I've run into a couple dudes that are like genuinely happy to see you. And you're like, why? You weren't genuinely happy to see me. I approach you looking for a quote, what do you?
I'm not very happy to see you either. So.
Where you're at. Yogi Bear, what's the odds that JPJ is a Steeler his entire career?
Jeez, we got one guy getting him traded and one guy signing him for his entire career.
His entire career. Go ahead,
Ray. His dad played for three different teams. So, I mean, we think of him as a true Steeler, but happened.
Honestly, he left because of money too. Steelers couldn't afford him. Then went to Miami and had probably his best season of his career.
Yep.
What did he finish with? 199 sacks, something like that. He was one away from like a milestone. I think it might have been 199, but my brain is fried, so we'll assume it's 199.
To me, what makes it difficult is if you sign Joey to, let's say, a 4-year deal, 3-year deal. What's he gonna sign? Either way, you're pushing 30 years old when it's over. Like, you're not going to re-sign that guy for a big contract. That's not going to happen. You're going to let him walk and let somebody else sign him for a big contract. Or you're going to trade him that last year of his deal to get something for him. So, to me, it's pretty unlikely.
What do the corners always say? I know Joe Hayden would always say this a lot. Once I can't keep up with those guys running, it's time to move on. So, that's what goes. I mean – you might be still a good athlete at 30 years old, but you lost a step or so and you can't keep up with these 22-year-olds. So corners don't really last a long time because of that. They'll have to get moved or slot safety or whatever. So that's what would go on all these guys.
I agree. Maddie, I've asked Noah this, but who are your quarterbacks to watch in college this year that could be on the Steelers' radar?
All of them.
Yeah, Brendan Sorensby, 2027.
He's going to what? Iowa Junior College?
Is that real? I saw that, but I didn't know if it was real, and I didn't want to look into it.
Yeah,
he might as well just hang it up if he's doing that. Just work out. What are you doing? If that's true.
It's probably AI generated, but
is he allowed to participate in the combine next year, even though he's not on a college team? Or is that by invite only? Or
no, that's by invite only. I don't think you have to play on a college team, right?
No, I don't think so. They also said that he'd be included in that stuff if like all the off-season programs, like the Senior Bowl and all that. Oh, although I guess the combine's hosted by the NFL. So maybe not, because he said it said all non NFL.
He'll get invited to play somewhere.
East West Shrine.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Oh, he'll definitely be at the Senior Bowl. And we will all have to go down to Mobile in February. So book your tickets now.
God. By the way, I was only 101 off with Joey Porter. He has 98 career sacks. I'm talking about 200. Yeah. Like,
200 would be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That's what am I talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll toss a quarterback out there that I really like that I think will be near the Steelers pick. Darian Mensah, the Miami quarterback. You're not into him?
I thought you were going to say Sellers.
No. No, no, I'm not. Lenore Sellers to me is good, but he'll go like top three, and he'll be Anthony. Somebody will take a risk on him, like Anthony Richardson.
Who's the best college quarterback right now, if you had to say?
Dante Moore.
I would say Dante Moore, too.
Yeah. I mean, I think Arch Manning had a really good last month of the season. Right. If he can continue that same pace, I think he would be a guy that you'd want to look at. But you're right, Ray. Whoever's there.
Oh, if they get a shot at Arch Manning, could you imagine? Like, they're not going to be like, nah, we're good.
They're probably going to be picking 20-something, right? You got to look at all five, six guys who are going to be first-rounders.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
But could you want to go 5-12 this year and they'll have the top six pick, right?
There it is. It is. I will say, though, Mike McCarthy would be drooling over an Arch Manning. That guy is, you know, he'd just be like, oh, the footwork, this is going to be unbelievable.
Imagine having a rookie, a second year, and a first year quarterback on your roster next year. So it looks like it's trending toward.
It is what it's trending towards for sure. For sure. No, at that point though, I think if you draft a rookie next year and you expect him to be the starter, that I think you'd move on from Will most likely next year. Mm-hmm. But if Will's going to be your starter and your rookie's not, then you'd keep all three of them.
Not one of them could potentially take a snap in the NFL and they'd be all on your team.
potentially.
Since you brought up Brendan Sorsby, I'd be remiss not to bring up Mason Rudolph. But
somebody did ask, and I think I accidentally unclicked 57 it here.
57 minutes in, and Mark has to mention it.
Well, he talked about Sorsby. He got a man crush on Sorsby, and he doesn't even – he could run into him at the mall and he wouldn't even know him.
I did. Then it's all. Now it's over. It's over. It's this.
Who's your man crush, Ray?
For quarterback?
No, anybody on the team. You have to have a man crush.
I don't have any man crushes.
I'm thinking Ray would have to be offensive lineman since he was a big Holy Cross guy.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I'm a big Mason McCormick guy. I mean, I really
Mason's like the dude. Yeah,
he's your buddy. I see you talking to him.
Yeah. He's just hilarious. I mean, the guy has a switch that he's the nicest guy in the world, and he's like, as soon as you cross that white line, he turns into a maniac.
Yeah. Yes.
That's something you can't teach.
It's like just a blast maniac, too. He's so enthusiastic out there that it's just – so, because you know he's mean out there too, but he's just gonna whip the arm around and get real excited on first down. You cannot love Mason McCormick. You can't. All right, let's finish it off here with an important one to celebrate the 4th of July early. Happy 4th of July, y'all. I hope everybody enjoys it. Is a hot dog a sandwich? There's one answer here. If you give it wrong, you may be eliminated from the show entirely. I don't think I have that control, but I just will never talk to you again.
Well, I'm going to say absolutely yes. It's bread, meat, bread.
What are you doing, dude?
Bread.
What are you meat, talking about?
Bread. It's a sandwich.
Is cereal a soup?
That makes zero sense.
What? Why? Why does it make zero sense?
Soup. Soup is not sweet. Soup is like savory. I guess you can have grape nuts. You seem like a grape nuts guy.
You could have raisin bran. That's not sweet.
You know what? The kid got a glizzy from Sheetz the other day. Actually, it looked pretty good. It's one of those Paul Skeens glizzies.
Yeah, the glizzies.
And it was actually grilled, and it looked pretty good, but I wouldn't eat it. It's definitely 100% a sandwich.
So am I the tiebreaker?
You are.
Not a sandwich.
Thank God.
But it's not the most – thing I'm looking forward to on the fourth, though.
What is?
Strawberry pretzel Jello salad. Oh.
See, anybody outside of Pittsburgh has no clue what you just said.
Ray dropped a clicker and a strawberry Jello pretzel salad.
I'm going to be grilling. I'm going to be making all kinds of stuff. But
there's no salad involved in that.
Strawberry pretzel Jello salad. We'll talk about it next week.
That sounds fantastic. I hope you enjoy it. I'm glad we're a respectable podcast because – what are we doing? I do have to, before we head out here, and we'll answer one more question after this, I do have to give a shout out, to good old SeatGeek as we shout out the boys. I want to give a shout out to today's sponsor, SeatGeek. With over 35 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app with more than 70,000 events listed, including concerts, sports, festivals, and more. MLB is in full swing. The NBA playoffs just ended, and the NFL season is fast approaching, which means now is the time for SeatGeek. I don't know about you guys, but when I think of me, Ray, and Caboli, I think of Journey. And you know we're going to Journey. I need three tickets, and you know SeatGeek is the way to go. Plus, I've got a promo code for you guys. You guys can use code COLLECTIVE10 for 10% off your next set of tickets at SeatGeek. That's 10% off any tickets with promo code COLLECTIVE10. Make sure you click the link in the description to download the app and have the code automatically added to your account so you can use it later. Thank you to SeatGeek. All righty. Shout out to SeatGeek. Let's end it here with this one, guys.
Don't stop believing.
Why does it do this?
Here we go.
Guys, who is your pick for the backup quarterback this year? Will Hard. That's who it is. That's who the back is.
I'm not even going to respond to that idiotic question. Sorry, quick 201. You're just trying to be a troll.
Look, they're genuine. They're interested. They're interested in number two.
Magic Mason, baby.
We should make a bet at some point when we actually have some ideas, you know, because that's what we're sports writers. This is what we do. All right. With that said, we're heading out here. Thank you guys so much for jumping on to another episode of the Steelers Collective. Make sure to hit that like and subscribe button before you head out of here. And as always, find us on youtube.com/Steelers Collective. We'll be back next Tuesday. Until then, enjoy another beautiful day in the burg.